This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1.
Welcome. In the next 60 minutes, everything you need for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead. Tonight, as Aberdeen prepare to travel to Dens Park to face Dundee 2 days earlier than we thought they were going to Tayside. In the three games so far this season, there's been a win for each side and a draw. We'll hear from both teams shortly. There's the rest of the football card, Six Nations rugby and lots more on North Sound 1's Friday Sport with the two Daves and Andrew Shiney. It all starts right here, right now.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1 with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
First of all, to Pittodrie and Derek McInnes. And while Aberdeen can draw level on points with a win at Dens tomorrow, albeit perhaps briefly, the Dons boss is focusing only on the job in hand.
I think the perception of maybe going joint top of the league is maybe an extra motivation for some, but I think from our players' point of view, they see the game as an opportunity, as is every game now. With 10 games to go, we've got to try and maximise the opportunity, and every time one comes along, as there is against Dundee on Saturday, it's important we try and take that. You know, I think it's important in any game to try and impose yourselves in the game. We had to do it the hard way against Motherwell, but we found a way to win, and that's pleasing. But, you know, in the first half, we weren't good enough defensively, but we also weren't good enough at getting into any sort of flow or rhythm and to go and cause them enough problems either, you know. And I felt that, you know, I credit Motherwell for their part in that. I thought they were excellent, but I expected more from my team. Like I say, I thought we were far more like ourselves, far more aggression in our play second half, far more purpose about us and everything we did. And from that point of view, it's that level of demeanour and performance and attitude to your work that will help us get points. We've changed the winning team before. We always pick a team. You know, there's loads of factors to make it a team, whether it's form, system, opposition, you know, where we think we can get it, maybe opposition, where we think we need to be strong against opposition. So there's loads of factors. The squad are well aware of that. You know, it's you're less likely to change a team that's winning, as we've shown. There's been consistency of selection. And the under-20s have been a real positive for us. You know, I think that in the last couple of seasons, I think that we've tried to be strong at all levels at the club. You know, and I think we're a lot making real progress in all of that. You know, and at under-20s level, it's not always about winning the league, it's about developing players. But if you can be successful at the same time, and we've had some good performers and performances in the under-20s. So to have both teams up at the right end of the table is pleasing. To have young players try to grab your attention and take notice is pleasing. But that's the way it should be at a proper club.
Very good evening. You're on North Sound 1's Friday Sport. I'm Dave McDermott. Joining me tonight, Dave Galloway and Andrew Shiney. Evening, lads.
Evening, Dave.
Andrew, a tough place to go, Dens Park, as we know.
Absolutely. You know, for many, many years, it was a very happy hunting ground for Aberdeen. They just never, ever lost down there, and they used to score barrel loads of goals. But in recent times, it's been a much harder place to go to. And this season in particular, Dundee seemed to have worked out the secret of how to score goals against Aberdeen. The games between the sides so far, very, very tight. You know, we won 3-2 in a game that Derek described as being our worst performance. Then our best performance in the Scottish Cup, we lost 2-1. And then there was that frantic 3-3 draw at Pittodrie earlier on this year. So it's a difficult one to predict, but you know that you're going to get a tough game because they've got a lot of good players, Dundee. There are weaknesses in their lineup, but when you've got a guy like Gary Harkins, who seems to reserve his best form for Aberdeen, and Greg Stewart, who for me has been one of the finds of the season at the top level in the Scottish game, you know you're in for a tough assignment.
Based on the game so far, Dave, we're not expecting a goalless draw, are we?
No, we're certainly not. Incidentally, Paul Hartley did tell me earlier this week, Harkins looked like he wasn't going to play. He's not going to be fit. He's injured. So that's
so he says.
I believe that.
That's one plus. But we've had that before, haven't we? We've had the kidology before,
yeah,
haven't we?
Derek, I think, mentioned that Johnny Hayes was a wee bit doubtful for a Celtic game.
Yeah, we'll believe it when we see it. No, I certainly don't think it'll be a 0-0 draw. I think Dundee's approach, it just mirrors Paul Hartley's approach as a player. You know, they get in your faces, they don't give you any space, they just get right in about you. Now, I'm sure tomorrow will be no different, but it'll be an enjoyable occasion, I'm sure. well, as long as Aberdeen win.
Yeah, we'll obviously we'll be covering the change of date and kickoff time later on. But in terms of the key battles tomorrow, where do you see this game being won?
Midfield, obviously, whoever, you know, gains supremacy and they are early on in the game can dictate how the game goes. But I think, you know, you look at the Dundee side, and if Harkins isn't there, they've still got Kevin Thompson, Jim McAllister, experienced guys who will put in a shift in the middle of the park there. Stephen McGinn, back up in Scotland again. Alec Harris, who's got pace down the side. And as I mentioned, Greg Stewart, you know, 14 goals this season already and making a major impact since he's moved from Cowdenbeath. But then you're looking at Aberdeen and saying, well, you know, Ash Taylor being back strengthened the defence without any question.
He had a cracking game last week, didn't he?
Oh, it was excellent last week. I mean, he pulled everybody together. There was a hiccup in the opening 35 minutes or so of the game when it appeared that, you know, there was uncertainty amongst the players as to how the formation was supposed to work. But Derek realised that, quickly changed it. But I thought Ash Taylor, you know, for the first 90 minutes back in the first team since injury, was just the same as he was before he was out injured, which is very, very good indeed. And I think, you know, we're strong defensively. Middle of the park, I hope Willow Flood's back in the squad tomorrow. You need his energy in there, taking a little bit of the pressure off Ryan Jack. Let Ryan get forward to play a little bit more football. And Adam Rooney's obviously going to have a big say in the outcome of tomorrow's game, because give that guy a sniff of goal and 99 times out of 100 he sticks it in the back of the net for you. And there is that little revenge element for the Scottish Cup tie. Scott Bain, who is likely to be in goals for Dundee tomorrow, I just hope does not repeat his heroics of that Scottish Cup game, because it was him against Aberdeen for long periods of the second half of that match, and unfortunately for us, Scott came out on top in that day.
Yeah, one player who we didn't see, he was on the bench, was Andrew Driver. He played for the 20s, he scored the only goal of the game that keeps the 20s well up there at the top of the league. And speaking to the lads who were involved, and also Mal, who was up there filming the game, they were very impressed. And again, it's another one that just came out of the out left field that Derek's managed to get a real quality player. He's in the squad for tomorrow. Whether he plays or not remains to be seen, but another fantastic one to have in that squad, and just shows how competition is for places at Aberdeen just now.
Yeah, absolutely, David. And I think the board of directors deserve a lot of credit for, you know, backing Derek. He wanted to get Andrew Driver in. The board have okayed that. They've given him the wherewithal, the finances to get Driver in. And by all accounts, a very impressive performance for the under-20s without being anywhere near fully match fit. So when he's fully fit, he's going to be some player.
Yeah, he certainly is. Let's hear from defender Shay Logan now, who says every match right now is absolutely massive.
All the games become now about 3 points. It's not about performance or anything like that. It's about 3 points. And, you know, we go to Dundee on Saturday, and that's the main purpose of it. The sole purpose is to take 3 points. And we know if we give a good collection of ourselves, we've got a really good chance of doing that.
A good example, Shay, of the boys winning when they're maybe not at their best was the previous game against Motherwell. It wasn't pretty at times, but it was effective, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And like I say, it's not about performances now, it's about 3 points. We went 1-0 down by, you know, a strike. We took a deflection, but in all fairness to Motherwell, they did really well that game, you know. It didn't look like there was a team at the bottom, but we've shown our fighting spirit to come back, even though we went 1-0 down. I still thought we had enough to win the game. And we had to stick in there, you know, because that's what football is about. It's about sticking in there and going until the 90 minutes is up.
And with it being a 12:15 kickoff on Saturday, Shay, obviously if you win, you draw level on points with Celtic. Is that in your thoughts at all?
No, until I heard about it just before, I didn't know that would be the case. I don't focus on Celtic, to be honest. It's all about Aberdeen, it's all about us, and we have to go in there thinking, you know, we're playing Dundee, so what do we need to do to win this game? How are we going about it to win the game? So that's what we're going to do. And, you know, albeit, like, hopefully we come out of that with 3 points and we are level with them, and that's when we'll start to think about, you know, we'll have a look at who they're playing and, you know, hopefully it doesn't go for them. But we can't focus on Celtic, because that's when your own performance will, you know, be affected.
Shea Logan there, and Andrew, another player that, you know, you just, for a defender, he's not the biggest, but he can defend, but he's also got such quick feet and no shortage of skill going forward. And for opposing fullbacks, he really does give them the runaround. They can't switch off for any time during the 90 minutes.
No, and if you recall that 3-2 game down at Dens Park, where I think when you listen back to the commentary, I'm going, what is Shea Logan doing up in the centre forward position?
That's
goal
right.
For Aberdeen. It turned out it was an own goal by James McPaik, but he gets himself forward so well. But he's not one of those fullbacks like, shall I mention, Izaguirre at Celtic, loves to get forward, doesn't bother his backside coming back quite often. Shea Logan, if he loses the ball and Aberdeen have to defend, he's back there defending. We've seen on occasions, was it at Celtic Park? One incredible moment,
yeah,
where he got back. I think it was one of the occasions when Celtic had 3-1 in an attacking position against us. But he's not a panicker. He does his job very, very well indeed. But he offers a terrific attacking outlet to Aberdeen. And if Johnny Hayes is still injured and missing tomorrow, you know, you've still got the pace of Shea Logan down the right-hand side to be a threat to the Dundee defence.
Absolutely. And of course, 12:15 kick-off, as I say, we'll come back to that a bit later on. But over on our sister station, North Sound 2, as well as Red TV, the whole 90 minutes, if you can't manage down.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. It's always good to do the game on North Sound 2, because it opens our bias up to many thousands of extra people, and we will be just as biased as we always are.
Yep, the fanfares are going already. Let's get the pre-match thoughts of Dens Park boss Paul Hartley.
I think if you look at the games previous, then I think you can expect an entertaining game. I think we've scored 14 goals in the three games between us, so it's been good games of football. I think they know when they play us that they're in a game, vice versa. I think they've got good players. I think you know, they've had a good season so far, and they'll want to keep their run going. We want to try and get back in track and try and push towards us the top six, but you know, we've not had a game for that period of time, which has been frustrating. Our players have trained well, and hopefully they're right for Saturday. I just think it's been frustrating overall not to have a game on a Saturday, and I think we've just tried to keep the players motivated as much as we can.
Dave, they haven't played for a wee while. A risk of ring rustiness?
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah, we do.
Speaking from a biased point of view, let's hope so. But they did have, and they still do have, quite bad injury problems. One benefit will be that those injury problems will have eased, and they will be fresh. That's the positive way from a Dundee perspective to look at it. But I sincerely hope that they will be rusty, and we can catch them cold. And you wonder if that might be in Derek's way of thinking. Let's go at them from the first whistle. Let's catch them cold. Let's get a quick goal.
You think that might be a factor?
You could probably say, well, they're well rested, so any mental tiredness, physical tiredness should have gone from them altogether. But there will be an element of them being slightly under par in terms of match hardness, match fitness. You know, they're a good side, and I'm quite sure that Paul Hartley will have done a very professional job in making sure that his players are ready for 12:15 tomorrow when the game kicks off. But I think Dave's right. You know, Aberdeen need to take the bull by the horns and impose their authority in the game as quickly as possible. You know, Dundee are not unbeatable. That's the thing. I mean, at home they've won 4, they've drawn 6, they've lost 4. So, you know, they can't say that Dens Park is a fortress by any stretch of the imagination. But they score goals. They've got to be treated with great respect. But they can be beaten.
And they still have a top six aspirations. They're on the coattails of St Johnson.
Very much so. And, you know, St Johnson have shaded slightly despite that great win at Celtic Park. They went down to Partick Thistle. There's a lot to play for still in the last few games leading up to the split.
You're in North Sound One's Friday Sport. We'll hear from Dons midfielder Willow Flood very shortly.
North Sound One, the official station of the Dons, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie. This is Friday Sport.
Welcome back to Friday Sport. It's Dundee against Aberdeen tomorrow lunchtime. Full commentary over on our sister station North Sound 2, as well as on Red TV with the three of us, the two Daves and Andrew. Pittodrie midfielder Willow Flood has been chatting to me for Red TV, and he says the games between the two teams this season have been extremely tight.
To be fair to Dundee, like, they're a big threat going forward, you know. Yeah, you see the quality they have in Harkins and Stewart, and we were unlucky in the cup game that we just came up against a keeper who had an absolute world. To be fair, he's done really well this season, and he's been one of the top goalkeepers in the league.
And in terms of the crowd, albeit with all the late changes, the fact it's on a Saturday at lunchtime, we know we've got at least a couple of thousand coming down. The fans away from home in particular, they do make such a difference, particularly at a ground like Dens Park.
Yeah, when it's such a close little stadium, like, so intense, their fans have been unbelievable for me. To be fair, since I've come into the club, the fans have been brilliant, and long may continue.
And the fact that we are kicking off earlier, it does give us the chance to get 3 points, and then, albeit perhaps temporarily, it would put us back level with Celtic.
Yeah, even though they've two games in hand, but we're just concentrating on getting the 3 points, and then if it puts them under pressure, then so be it.
As we alluded to there, up until earlier in the week, we were planning on travelling to Dens on Monday evening until the match was changed due to international call-ups. Derek McInnes is hitting out at the decision to bring the kick-off forward.
I think it's unnecessary to have it changed so late, to be honest, you know, in terms of the supporters. I think it's we shouldn't take our supporters for granted, and myself and the players, we certainly don't do that. But I think it's the change, I think, being so late could have been avoided, and I don't think it had to take three players from my club to be involved on a national level. I think we could all learn from the incident, because, you know, why schedule an SPL game on a Monday night for TV in an international week? That's the first question you'd need to ask. And if the alternative date was there so quickly and so readily, why weren't we given that option as well?
And this is the subject of this week's topic when we go interactive with Aberdeen Mad. The topic started by Action09, who states, fixture change, rearrange due to international call-ups. Andrew has some of the thoughts as the week progressed.
Well, Starryfish says, absolute shambles. How long have we known that there were international matches on next week? SPFL, an utter laughing stock. Day One Song says, I've purposely got a day off from work to get down to this match and paid for the tickets and arranged to go down with a pal. One thing is to change the date of the fixture, but with less than a week to go is a disgrace. Most likely won't manage Saturday due to the ridiculously early time they've set it, as I will have work and it's my sister's birthday meal. Did they forget there was an international break? Did they presume there wouldn't be any call-ups? I'm a bit embarrassed for the folk who have organised this, to be honest. FCC on First Game says, as much as this is a complete shambles and a pain for the fans who have already made arrangements, I'm actually quite happy we have the chance to put a bit of pressure on Celtic. Much prefer to play before and get the points in the bag. Cove Creep says, basically there was always a 50 to 70% probability this would happen, yet they've strung everyone along this would be a Monday night kickoff. Red Day 1903 says, I can go now and just bought tickets, but this is a terrible way to treat fans who have taken time off, booked non-refundable train tickets and went and arranged other things for Saturday. 67 Super Don, this is getting more to our age group, Dave. Unfortunately, this is just too typical of modern day football. The fan, the customer, is bottom of the pile. They still expect us to change all plans, drop everything and go to the games. That's just where the game is in this country, I'm afraid. 57 Vintage, even older than us, I think. So the SFA can cancel an entire weekend's fixture list to accommodate internationals played on a Friday night or Saturday, but don't have the wit to liaise with the SPFL over fixtures in an international week. Zeruali88 says, I actually thought it was a wind-up, but should have realised with the numpties in charge of the game in this country, this was likely to happen. Final one goes to ENL Jesse. Just when you thought Scottish football can't get any more ridiculous, it comes up with this. I'd be annoyed if my weekly game of fives was moved at this notice. It just emphasises the fact that the game is run by a shower of incompetent clowns who can't find sponsors, can't enforce their own rules, or even run their own competitions. People hated the likes of Jim Farry, but there never used to be the sort of shambles we have nowadays.
I must confess, I mean, I discussed it internally when the first time when we heard it was on the being switched to the Monday, that was the first reaction of just about anybody that follows football. Well, that's an international week. Why? Uh-huh. Why has it been done? So, you know, somewhere along the line, and I think the other point was that Derek was alluding to, why, if there was an alternative date, i.e. tomorrow 12:15, why was that not done sooner rather than wait to see that whether... Because potentially we could have had up to five players, if you include Ryan Jack, who's knocking on the door, and Cammy Smith, who should have been in the 21 squad. So it does seem, again, that the fans are just bottom of the food chain in terms of the interest.
Yeah, it was amazing just how quickly it was switched, like you've just touched on. You know, suddenly it's, oh, it's fine, it's going to be 12:15 on Saturday. And just terrible planning and lack of foresight. And as some of the lines that Andrew read out were saying, you know, it's a terrible way to treat the fans.
Yeah,
and the thing is that the international dates have been known for months and months. Yeah.
And Derek has to, because to have the interests of Aberdeen at heart, make all of his players available that he can. So he had no other obligation other than he had no choice but to take the alternative date. Because he would have been upset if it's kept it Monday but not played with, you know, now played without McGinn, etc., and we get beaten. And then it ended up being mattered at the end of the season. Then you would quite rightly have been,
you'd be slaughtered.
So just no wins.
It's just been a mess, and unfortunately, it's not the only occasion this season or in the last couple of years that there's been, you know, pretty glaring errors made. And unfortunately, as everybody said there, the people who suffer the most are the fans, who the authorities have got to remember are their customers. Without the fans, there is no game.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, let's staying interactive, moving to the poll. Will Aberdeen go the rest of the season unbeaten, Dave?
It's not very often we have a no majority. Yes, 36.9%. No, 63.1%.
Well, not, I suppose, it's a big ask, but you never know, you never know. As always, you can see our polls and topics on Aberdeen Mad from around midweek. Just join and you could feature on the show. Predictor Derek, what's the lineup tomorrow, Dave?
I will go for Langfield in goals, Logan, Taylor, Reynolds and Considine at the back, Jack and Flood the sitters, McGinn, McLean and Pollitt if fit, and then Rooney up front.
Andrew?
Just the same team, but I have assumed that Peter Pollitt and Johnny Hayes are not going to be fit to start the game, so I've put Andrew Driver in there on the left side, and it's all about options again. As we've said so often, the manager has got lots of options, and he likes to keep his cards close to his chest in terms of injuries, so it wouldn't surprise me to see Johnny Hayes there or Peter Pollitt there. Or Andrew Driver.
I've gone the same as you. I've put Andrew Driver in, going on the assumption that Johnny and Peter won't make it. And who is your player, one to watch for tomorrow?
My one to watch is Adam Rooney, because you know, he is the main man in Scotland when it comes to scoring goals. 24 goals for the campaign, top league scorer with 14. We saw the classic poacher's goal last week when they... You know, George Long and Louis Lang got an all, you know, just made a complete hash of things. But they could have got away with it, but for Adam Rooney having realised what was going on and being in there quickly to score. Dundee are one of the few teams that he hasn't scored against this season, so I think he's going to give Thomas Conrad and James McPake, assuming that they are the two central defenders for Dundee, he's going to give them a really rough time tomorrow, and I fancy Adam to score at least one.
Dave?
Ash Taylor for me, a really good comeback last week against Motherwell. Dave, you know, like he'd never been away. He added strength and solidity to the defence, and I take him to keep Dundee at bay tomorrow.
Okay, I'm going to go for Andy Driver, just because if he plays, it would be his first game. Scoreline
for me, Dundee 1, Aberdeen 3.
Ditto.
I've gone for 2-0 Aberdeen.
Okay.
Right. And remember, just another wee reminder, the whole game live over on our sister station, North Sound 2, and also
and
on Red
for
TV.
For the fans travelling, there will be cash gates.
Yes, there will be cash gates as well. So already over 2,000 going. So again, it will feel like a home match. Let's say look at the other matches in the Premiership. Friday night football is the Lanarkshire Derby between Motherwell and Hamilton. That's tonight. Fir Park midfielder Josh Law says the Steelmen need to get a victory.
A couple of beatings off them, to be honest, and obviously the cup loss earlier in the year. So obviously we'll approach it like any other game, not in terms of revenge or anything, but we desperately need the win, so we'll be looking to get our first win against them.
Accies player boss Martin Canning is confident he can clinch his first win since taking over from Alex Neil.
Their personnel's changed quite a bit since we last played them. So and I watched their game at the weekend against Aberdeen on Friday night, and they've done well in the game. So we know it's a difficult task again. They're a good side and they have improved since the team. Obviously we beat 5-0, like you're saying, I think it was 4-0 in the last game. So we know it'll be difficult, but again, if we perform, we can go and win.
Accies at Well. Andrew.
You know, it's two teams that are showing dreadful form, but I must admit I was quite impressed by Motherwell last week, and I think the signing of Scott McDonald will get them enough goals that might just get them clear of trouble. Hamilton really toiling. I think Motherwell might win this one, but it'll be tight tonight.
Okay, it's Celtic, moving on to tomorrow's 3 o'clock game, Celtic against Dundee United. Who else? And Parkhead manager Ronnie Dyla says his players love what they do.
Players has to enjoy playing football and looking forward to play every game. And I think we see now, like you can see if you go to see 7 or 8 year old boys or girls playing football, you see that that enjoyment when you play. And I think we see that in our squad now. That's the only way to make the players better, to really enjoy playing football.
United's Jackie McNamara, meanwhile, is hitting out at the Norwegian over comments about Ryan McGowan's red card for a tackle in Wednesday's cup replay that saw him sent off.
I think if you see the challenge, it's not a bad challenge. It's not career threatening. You know, Ronnie's got a member of his staff in Jordan Kennedy who I played with. That was around at the time when he got a real bad career threatening challenge. You know, to compare the two, it's no comparison. You know, and again, that comes down to pressure. It's the pressure on the club, the money they've spent, the resources taking our boys in January. You know, it's expected of them to win a domestic treble, which they should be doing.
Some fair points there from Jackie. Scoreline, Dave?
Oh, I think there's not going to be any added edge or spice to this one, he said sarcastically. It's going to be explosive. It's going to be untidy, but it'll be very watchable. It'll be very exciting. My heart, of course, says Dundee United will win, but my head says, nah, it's got to be Celtic. I'll take them to win 2-0.
At Firhill, it's a battle of the thistles, Partick against Inverness, and home winger Stephen Lawless says there are some tough games coming up.
We've played against these teams, they know they're good teams, so they've got to have more time in the ball. So we just need to take control of that, and hopefully we can take advantage of the time we've got on the ball, and we can put them under as much pressure as we can when they've got it, and hope that works.
John Hughes says sides are desperate for 3 points for vastly different reasons.
At this time of the year, everyone's on a different agenda. You know, teams are fighting for their life. Partick Thistle, another couple of wins and they'll be in that safe. And you'll be playing against other teams that are wanting to get in the top six, other teams that want to stay in the top six.
Partick Inverness. Tricky one, Andrew.
Well, Partick Thistle, that is the great unpredictables. I mean, on their day, they're very good. Other days, they're very poor. I mean, who thought that they were going to go up to Inverness and beat Cali Thistle 4-0? I certainly didn't. I think they've got enough about them that they can get a positive result. But Inverness, I think, stuffy to beat away from home. So I'll sit in the fence and go for a draw.
OK, in form Ross County entertain Kilmarnock, and Dingwall boss Jim McIntyre reckons his side's revival will be put to the test.
They're unbeaten in 7, you know, they've drawn 5 and 2 victories. They've still got aspirations of making top 6, so that makes them a very dangerous team. We've done very well against them. Probably our best away performance of the season down there when we won 3-0.
In the opposite camp, Gary Locke knows exactly what to expect.
Another tough one, you know. They're the form team in the country at the moment, so we know how difficult it's going to be. You know, they've won four and drawn one out of the last five. And I know Jim really well, fantastic manager, done a brilliant job up there, so we're certainly under no illusions how difficult this game's going to be.
Ross County against Kilmarnock, Dave.
Yeah, County certainly are on the up, but Kilmarnock are coming out with some good stuff as well. Gary Locke has certainly had an effect, a positive one, on the Rugby Park Club. I think Kelly might just edge it 1-0.
OK, finally, it's All Saints Day in Perth with St Johnstone facing St Mirren. Tommy Wright knows his side will have a battle on their hands.
They're fighting for their lives. Somewhere it's back in a tough game. But we're also fighting for, you know, for top six and finish the season strongly. So people may have thought that last week would have been another 3 points for us, but it doesn't happen like that. You've got to be right every game, and we've got to make sure that we're right.
Paisley manager Gary Teal knows how much hard work lies ahead in the battle to avoid the drop.
It's like roll your sleeves up time, where we need to go and make sure you're putting in a hard working performance. You see, that's what's going to take. You've got 11, 10 individual battles with the goalkeeper that you need to go and probably dominate more than not. You see, and that's what it's going to take for us to go and try and get out of position we're in.
St Johnstone against St Mirren, Andrew.
I've got to go for St Johnstone. I think they're a much better team than St Mirren are. I know St Mirren, as Gary Teal said, you've got to win all the battles, and it's, you know, they're fighting for their lives, but I just don't think they've got enough about them to get themselves off the bottom of the table. So it won't be a clear-cut victory for St Johnstone, but they're good enough to win the 3 points.
OK, time for a break. Next up, we have the Championship and also the Blue Toon.
North Sound 1, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie, Balmoor and across the Highland League. This is Friday Sport.
To the Championship now, and champions elect Hearts. They're at Falkirk tomorrow, and boss Robbie Nielsen says decisions on players' futures won't be rushed.
I've seen a lot, yeah, but it's whether they're in a budget or not, you know, is the issue. You know, we must stick to it. You know, we don't have a huge budget. You know, with going up to the SPL, I'm going to have to compete against teams with a bit bigger budgets than us, but, you know, we can't overstep the mark. You know, after the situation we've had at the club over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years.
Livingston take on Dumbarton, Queen of the South, Cowdenbeath, and then at 5:30 it's Raith Rovers against Alloa, and Sunday Hibs against Rangers. Hibs boss Alan Stubbs.
We're playing well at this moment in time. Confidence is very good, and we approach the game in really good form, which is the most important thing. And I know for a fact the players are really chomping at the bit and really looking forward to the game.
Rangers boss Stuart McCall knows that most people expect his side to lose.
Everyone apart from everyone in our dressing room, yeah, and I think even maybe some of the supporters going along, but we're not thinking that way whatsoever. Yeah, we'll take it that their confidence is high, ours is a little bit fragile at the moment. But I've seen enough from the other night and in training this week that the lads will be ready to go and put a show.
To League One now, and Peterhead are on the road at Stirling, the first of three crucial games in a week that could shape their season. Here's boss Jim McAnally.
We go to Stirling on Saturday, which is priority and the only game that's in our mind, really. But when you look at the full week, you know, we go to Brechin on the Tuesday, and then we play the top of the table the following Saturday. And, you know, that's really good. I mean, and that we're looking forward to that, and we're going to embrace it, because, I mean, I spoke to Raymond McKinnon the other day. I was speaking to him casually, and he's quite worried about, you know, if they've got suspensions coming up and injuries coming up. And we seem to be the other end of the spectrum at the minute. I'm spoilt for choice a wee bit with players available to me. Not that I'm saying we've got the biggest squad ever, but I feel as though I've got 14 or 15 players that I could start in the team. And at this stage of the season, that's really good. And it's a good headache for me. And that's why we're looking forward to these games.
It's the Highland League semi-final, League Cup semi-final tomorrow. Turf United against Cove Rangers. The teams met in the Aberdeenshire semi-final on Wednesday, with United triumphing after extra time in very foggy conditions. Here's United boss Ross Jack.
Sunday arguably sees the two key games at the top of the Premier League. Firstly, it's Liverpool at home to Manchester United. Louis van Gaal's side are fourth, the final Champions League place after their 3-0 win over Spurs. That's 2 points ahead of Brendan Rodgers' team, but the Liverpool boss sounds confident.
I don't worry about them clicking. I think that it's a good performance in the last performance against Tottenham and a good result. But Anfield's a different game. It's it's a different game, it's a different intensity, and I'm looking to bring that into Sunday's game.
Then Chelsea, 6 points clear at the top, play at Hull. The other Sunday match is QPR's home game with Everton. The Saturday programme begins with stuttering Manchester City, who could lose second this weekend at home to West Bromwich Albion. After going out of the Champions League to Barcelona, there's renewed speculation about manager Manuel Pellegrini's future. He says that's just the way of the world.
Every time during the season that one manager is not winning, I think that immediately the press has sacked him. This year was maybe sometime with Liverpool manager, after with Arsenal manager, after with me.
Third place Arsenal are at Newcastle, while Southampton welcome Burnley, and Tottenham down in seventh now take on the bottom club Leicester. But the main interest at the foot of the table is seeing how Sunderland respond to the arrival of Dick Advocaat. The Dutchman's first match since replacing Gus Poyet is at West Ham.
This game can give us the tools how we have to go on with the squad, with the individual players, etc. So very important, not only for me, but also for the players.
Elsewhere, improving Aston Villa take on Swansea and Stoke meet Crystal Palace.
That was Andrew Hawes looking at the Premiership this weekend, and here is Ross Jack.
For two sets of players who had been at work all day and come and play the length of time that they played, an extra time, and still shown the hunger and desire and fitness, it was a tribute to them. You know, at least on Saturday they won't be working in the morning, they'd be fresh, and there'll probably be new players on both sides out on show. But again, a very, very tough tie ahead, and we know that we'd have to be at our best to beat a good team like Cove.
And of course you'll face a Cove side desperate for revenge, you would think.
Oh, you would think so, yeah, that's for sure. Cove side desperate for revenge and a tough team that's determined to keep the run going. I know that they'll have a few players in. We've got a few missing out for Saturday. But, yeah, it makes it all the more intriguing. That means we can't read each other too well.
And in the other semi-final, it's Wick against Nairn in the Highland League. Clack versus Forest Brora are at Formartin United. It's Fort William against Inverurie Locos. Fraserburgh versus Lossie. Huntly Devonvale. Rothes Keith and Strathspey Thistle against Bucky Thistle in the juniors, Andrew.
In the GAA Engineering Inter-Regional Cup quarter-finals, it's Elgin United against Dundee North End. Park Vale against Blair Gowrie. PMAC Group Super League is Bankery St Tiernan against Hall Russell United. Cruden Bay entertain Devon side. Banks of Dee travel to Cooter. It's Hermes against Inverness City and Stonehaven against New Elgin. First Division East, Aberdeen University entertain Sunnybank. Colney Park are at home to Longside. It's Fraserburgh United against Bridgendon Thistle and Glen Tanner against Buckenhaven Hearts. First Division West, Dufftown against Lossiemouth United, Isle of Vale, Granton, Nairn St Ninian against Burghead Thistle, Port Gordon Victoria against Forest Thistle and Spey Valley against White Hills. And finally, in the McBookie.com McLemmon Cup first round at the Pleasure Park, it's FC Stonywood against Maud.
Tomorrow sees the 20th Aberdeen Boat Race as teams from Aberdeen University and Robert Gordon Uni take to the River Dee. Vice President of Aberdeen University Boat Club, Ian Walker.
Great to see all the support, and as always, it's probably the biggest crowd we row of in front of all year. It's very exciting to see everyone down to see us. We train all year round, really, with a brief break after summer, but we'll be training, you know, 10 times a week, every week, really. Pretty confident we'll win. I've not seen a loss of the crew, but from what I have seen, I do feel that we have a good shot of beating them, yeah.
And that race, what's the start time? It's, say, tomorrow afternoon on the D. Of course, it's all down to the tides, etc. So we'll be back next week, next Friday. And of course, tomorrow we have a full commentary over on North Sound 2, also on Red TV. Your predictions once again, boys?
I think we both said 3-1 to the Dons.
Yeah, both 3-1.
OK, that's it from Friday Sport, from Andrew, from Dave and from myself. Have a wonderful weekend.